Welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis. This program is on the air live right now to discuss any personal issue or situation you may find yourself in and to answer your Bible questions. This is Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. What's going on in your life? Let's talk it through and see if we can help. You can get through right now at 1-800-677-9377. Write that number down. Keep it handy. It's a toll-free number. Don't wait. Call right now, 1-800-677-9377. Well, Bob and Richard, and to everyone listening, happy Wednesday, the eve of Independence Day, Bob Christopher.
Well, it is, and it's a very exciting day, I think, for all Americans as we celebrate our freedom as U.S. citizens. But I think it's just a foreshadowing of the freedom that we have in Christ. We've been talking about that all week, and I think that's something that every single person on this planet longs for more than anything else, just a sense of freedom, to know that they are free. And there's only one place to go, one person to turn to experience that freedom, and his name is Jesus Christ. And I love how Paul wrote about that in his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 3. He said, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." And he is making a contrast in this particular chapter between the Mosaic covenant and this new covenant that Jesus Christ ushered in through his death. And he says, under that old covenant, there's bondage. And the reason there's bondage is because there's sin and death. It's the law. It's the Ten Commandments. We don't have the ability to live up to those, to fulfill the righteous requirements of the law through human effort, through any strength that we have whatsoever. So that law judges us. It condemns us. It condemns us to a death sentence. And as often as we try to go into the Word and try to find out the things that we're supposed to be doing for God, we're going to experience that bondage. But when we actually turn to the Lord and rest in what He's accomplished for us, that veil is taken away and we can experience true freedom in Christ. It's the freedom that God's grace brings to each and every one of us. Freedom from the power of sin, the punishment of sin, and freedom to live in this newness of life that we have in Christ Jesus. It is a powerful, powerful reality when we've come to taste this freedom that we have in Christ. And once you taste it, you never want to go back. And folks, if you are longing to be free, if you are sick and tired of playing the religious game, of pretending, of trying to gut it out for Jesus, it's time to let that go and to grab hold of this freedom that you have in Christ and a new dynamic for experiencing the abundant life that Christ has for you. So let's talk about that on today's program, 1-800-677-9377. We would love to hear from you, and we would love to hear from you as quickly as you possibly can so that we can take as many calls on today's broadcast.
Let's go to the Bronx, New York immediately, Bob, and talk to Warren, listening on our great affiliate WMCA. Hi, Warren. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Yeah, how you doing, sir?
Doing fine, Warren. Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, how you doing, Mom? The daughter's in control, like you said. I listened to the program for 2 weeks. I love your program. And it's the people that's doing the stuff that's going in the world. It's not God, because He knows what He's doing. It's the people.
Well, that's what he said about that old covenant, the Mosaic covenant. He said he found fault with the people. That's the reason that there was this new covenant, because he had found fault with the people. They could not live up to their end of the bargain, the people of Israel. And certainly that's true of all of us. If we were to cut a deal with God, and we were to say, if you'll do this, we'll do this, God would always live up to His end of the bargain. We would never be able to live up to our end of the bargain. Correct. That's why we have to be saved by grace, isn't it?
Yes, sir. I'm only be saved one day. I'm trying to find an appointment. I'm trying to find an apartment. I'm in Section 8. By the time I go there, they give me a problem. I'm trying to find a Christian wife as well. And I'm having a lot of problems, you know. I don't know what God has in store for me, but I know He has a plan for my life. and I just want to move on, you know, somewhere, you know, look for a Christian wife in my life and a job and then move into the right areas and stuff like that.
Well, Warren, have you come to Christ by faith? Have you truly responded to his death, burial, and resurrection?
No, well, I've been to church a long time. Maybe I've been to church in like 3 months. I'm going to start going back soon. Maybe I can go worship the Lord. Maybe just blah, 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 you know?
Well, Warren, you know, you're talking about wanting to find a wife. You're talking about wanting to find an apartment, and I certainly understand that on both of those things. And you know, when somebody says, "I want to find a Christian wife," to me, one of the things that I hear underneath that is that's when I'll really be happy. That's when things will start falling into place, and I'll be the person that God has called me to be. And that's just not necessarily true. If you're looking to a woman to make you happy, you're looking in the wrong place. God is moving Christian men to marry so that they can serve their wives, that they can love them just as Christ loved the church. And so if you're saying, "I want to find a wife so that she can serve me and make me happy," you're kind of looking at it in the wrong direction. So that makes me want to ask the question, Warren, have you truly come to Christ by faith? Because there in him, through faith in him, is where you can find real contentment, where you can find rest and peace for your soul. You can find purpose for living. And you can have something in your tank to actually give out to someone else.
Maybe
so that's
right.
why
Maybe.
I asked the question.
I'm listening.
So that's why I asked the question, have you truly come to Christ and have been born again? It's not about going to church. It's not about any of those things. It's just about receiving Christ Jesus, being made alive together with him. That's what salvation is. It's going from death to life. We're separated from God as lost people. When we come to him by faith, we are brought near to God. We're made alive together with Christ so we can experience a brand new life. And I think that's something that I hear in your voice, that you would love to experience something brand new, something different.
Yes, sir.
Well,
yes,
you
sir.
Can only
I've
do that.
God's thing in my life, you know. I need God's thing in my life because a lot of things happening. You know, I'm a good, decent guy, you know. I need God sustaining me. I need to praise God, and every day I wake up in my life. I need God more than I need anything else in my life right now. You know.
Well, you need God, and you know, let's give God a name. Let's say you need Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ died, Warren, to take away all your sins. That's just marvelous news in and of itself, so that you can experience freedom from guilt and freedom from the punishment of sin and freedom from that fear of punishment. But then he was buried and raised back to life so that you could experience a brand new life, so that you could become different on the inside. And what makes you different is the fact that Jesus Christ will come and live inside of you. And when that happens, you see the world in a completely different perspective. So if that's something that you would like in your life, if you would like to receive Christ, we would love to lead you in that way.
Yes, sir. I would appreciate it. I had the show on 2 weeks. I like to study. I like what you're saying. It's making sense to me. God is up there. He knows what's going on. He looks down on the whole world and knows what's going on. God can see in my heart and my mind. You see, he has like x-ray eyes. He knows what's going on in my life. Like you said, we're on a journey. I just want to, you know, serve the Lord and go back to church one day. And maybe that's what I need to do, you know?
Yes. Well, let's do this, Warren. Can I put you on hold? I want to continue the conversation with you offline, see if we can get some more help to you. One of our off-air people will pick up and get all your information, and we'll send you some resources that I think will be helpful. And let's stay connected, my friend, okay?
Yes, sir. I like the show. It's very education, very spiritual. I love it.
Well, great.
Well, we're glad you do, Warren, and thanks for those kind words. And thanks for calling in and being a listener.
Yes, indeed. Hold the line, and our off-air counselor will pick you up. Plenty of open lines, friends. If you'd like to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, why, we encourage your call right now. Toll-free, 1-800-677-9377. Guy's going to go talk to Wilfred listening in Brooklyn, New York on WMCA. Hi, Wilfred. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
My question is, when Jesus was speaking to his disciples and he said, greater works than this shall he do, was he referring only to the disciples then or to us also now?
Well, I think it's to us also. I think that statement occurred when, you know, he had gathered his disciples and he was imparting lots of information to them before his death, burial, and resurrection. Right. And what he was saying to them is that when I go away, I'm going to send the Spirit, and the Spirit is going to take up residence in you. And as this new body of Christ, you're going to see greater things accomplished as this group, this body of believers, than what I'm going to accomplish here just in this one single body. So that's what he was referring to there. We like to think that, I'm a Christian and I'm going to be able to accomplish greater things than Jesus Christ himself. That's not what Jesus is talking about at all. He's giving a new vision for how he's going to work his life in and through us, how he's going to utilize us as a part of his plan to advance his kingdom in this world. And certainly once he sent the Spirit into those disciples, those early apostles, the word started spreading and it covered the Roman Empire very, very quickly. And I think that's what Jesus was referring to, that you're going to see growth happen in incredible ways because of this body of believers that is connected, interconnected, both to God, to one another, by the Spirit of Jesus Christ himself.
So it has nothing to do with his miracles?
No, I don't think it has anything to do with the fact that we're going to do, you know, greater miracles than Jesus. I mean, no one's going to be raised from the dead like Jesus was. I mean, that is the greatest miracle that's ever happened. You can't get any greater than that. But there is this miracle of love that has never been known on the planet, a miracle in which Jew and Gentile, folks who once hated each other with a deep hatred, would now love each other through the power of God's Spirit. That's a miracle, and that evidence speaks volumes of the reality of Christ Jesus in this world today. So I think that's what he's talking about, the spreading of this message of truth, this message of freedom, this message of life, this message of love in Christ. And because Christ now lives in us, we are the body of Christ, and we're going to be the ones that carry on the work, not through our human effort, but as we abide in him and in him alone.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for your call. Wonderful question today.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, Wilfred. Well, Bob and Richard, we've had a couple of callers who have called in, and for some reason we've lost the connection. So if that fits you, give us a call back, 1-800-677-9377, or if you have a new question, 1-800-677-9377. That's the number we want you to dial. The lines are wide open right now. This, of course, is Basic Gospel, and we have a wonderful resource that we want to talk to you about right now, friends. It's called Gateway to Grace, a 6-message series complete with study guide that really peels away all of the phony and boring religious stuff that you've probably been hearing, stuff that masquerades as Christianity. Gateway to Grace is rich in biblical content, and as Bob Christopher has said in the last couple of days, it really opens the door so that you can experience the reality of God's love and grace. And for any gift during Independence Month here at Basic Gospel, we'll send you this excellent resource. All you need to do is simply go online to basicgospel.net to order. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Or you can call 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828 for Gateway to Grace. Yours this month for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Well, again, the lines are wide open at 1-800-677-9377. Want to hear from you. I have a call basically from Warren, who writes to us from Brisbane, Australia. He says, my question has to do with being unequally yoked, in particular in a marriage situation. I know and understand and agree with the principle of being unequally yoked with an unbeliever. It's totally logical to me. But in a dating or marriage situation, does that mean, that we should date only those who are saved, those who are part of the ecclesia? I've learned that not everyone who goes to church is saved. Some are still as lost, but they still do religion really, really well. Maybe they will accept Jesus in the future, maybe not. That is between them and God. Please give me your take on that.
Well, that's a very good question. And, you know, the Bible is very clear for believers not to be unequally yoked to unbelievers in a marriage relationship. Paul talks about that in his letter to the Corinthians. It also has a broader application, as far as partnerships and those sort of things matter. But as far as marriage is concerned, I think it's important that we listen to what Jesus has to say to us, because whatever he says to us is to our benefit. And so if you will heed that that information, listen to it with the intent to carry it out, I think you're going to see the benefits of that as far as relationships and marriage relationships are concerned. When you start saying, well, wait a minute, here's somebody who's lost and I can date them because I like what they look like and I like their personality and all of those sort of things. And my hope and prayer is that one day this person will be saved. Well, you get involved with that person. Sexual things are going to start to happen. Your feelings are going to get involved and you're going to come to a point and say, I just feel like this is the one for me, even though the Word of God would say, no, it's not the one for you. And the reason she is not the one for you or he is not the one for you is because they're not equally yoked with you as far as a relationship with Christ is concerned. And so at that point, your feelings are so involved, you make yourself vulnerable to those feelings to the extent that you're going to say, God, I know you said that I shouldn't marry her, but I'm going to anyway. And that's when you get in trouble. It's not that the relationship, you can't learn to function and those sort of things. But at some point, you have no real fellowship one with another. You're going to approach problems with a spiritual emphasis, an emphasis on what the Word of God has to say. She or he will approach it in a different deal. Well, how are you going to come together on that? How are you going to get on the same page? So I think that's why it's so vitally important. So if we will go into the Word of God, realize that God loves us, God loves us more than anyone else, and that whatever he says to us, that if we will listen to it with the intention of carrying it out, it's going to be to our ultimate benefit. I know so many people who have done exactly what I just laid out. They've said, this is the one for me. I just feel it, even though I know she's not a Christian or I know he's not a Christian. I'm going to marry them anyway. And 2 years later, they are separating and ending up in divorce. I've seen it happen 100 times, and it's just the way it is. So let's heed what God has to say to us.
Yes,
I think
indeed.
We'll all experience his benefits if we do.
Yeah. Brooklyn, New York. Let's talk to Lewis, listening on WMCA. Hi, Lewis. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I enjoy your program. My question is, it's a question comment, I guess, but it's really a question. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, states, "For you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood." Okay? Also in the same chapter, in verse 5, "You also as living stones are being built up into a spiritual house for a holy priesthood." precepts mentioned twice. And then the third time, which is the last one here, is Revelation chapter 1, and he has made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. I guess those are the three verses I'd like you to comment on. I don't really, my question or my comment is contained, and I really don't hear a lot about the priesthood in teaching and from ministries, from the church and the pulpit. It just really doesn't seem to be highlighted. And the question is that if we're this is going to be our eternal identity, why isn't it spoken about more?
Well, that's a great question, and I would certainly encourage you to get this resource that we're offering, because the very last message deals with this, the fact that we have become a royal priesthood. In other words, we have a task. We have an assignment. The priest of the Levitical line in the Mosaic covenant, they represented God to the people, and they represented the people back to God. They had a purpose. Well, you know, in Christ, there's a new high priest. He's the high priest, and he's named all of us as his royal priesthood. So we all carry out that function. And I think that's given to us in a couple of ways. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. That is a part of our priestly role, is to carry out this ministry of reconciliation. And that ministry is to tell people that in Christ Jesus, all the world has been reconciled unto God, and that God no longer counts their sins against them. The sacrifice of Jesus has taken away those sins and has offered new life to those who would receive it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says that we've been given the ministry of the new covenant, that we've been made ministers of a new covenant. This new covenant, why? Because the letter or the old covenant kills, but the new covenant gives life. So as our priestly duties, we are to carry out this role as ministers of this new covenant, pointing people to the new life that they have in Christ, and encouraging those who already have that life to live it to the full. So we have some wonderful privileges as this priesthood that God has called us to be right here, right now. And when we do, the sacrifices that come back are sacrifices of praise from folks who have been saved by Jesus Christ. So I think you've hit on something significant, and something that we do need to spend more and more time in as far as understanding what our roles as believers are in the kingdom of God. Well, thanks for asking that. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. We appreciate it, and hope you'll keep listening and call again, Lewis. Bob, we don't have time for another call, unfortunately. We hope that Walter in New Jersey will hold over. We'll have a new program beginning in about 7 minutes, and we call it Basic Gospel, strangely enough. And those of you who are listening and would like to continue to pose a question, why, give us a call, 1-800-677-9377. Friends, if Basic Gospel has begun to make a difference in your life, we encourage you to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. You know, this new resource we've been talking about, Gateway to Grace, is a six-message series complete with study guide that peels away all of the phony, boring religious stuff that masquerades as Christianity. Gateway to Grace is rich in biblical content, and it really opens the door so that you can experience the reality of God's love and grace. And for a gift of any amount during the month of July, well, we will send you a copy of it. Just go online to basicgospel.net. If you're tired of the phony, boring religion, tired of looking for something different and real, and tired of going through all the motions but not really getting anywhere, you can experience freedom. Gateway to Grace can point you in the right direction. So we encourage you, Gateway to Grace, yours this month, a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Request yours online when you visit basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Call 1-800-727-2828 to make your gift and request your Gateway to Grace series. That's 1-800-727-2828. Now for Bob and Richard and the staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for an Independence Day special edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.